looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we got a lot to get to with your baseball team, and I'm not joking. I'm starting to get that feeling again. I'm finding them to be unlikable again. And look, maybe it's just an 11-12 stretch here during a 23-game sample where the Red Sox have played losing baseball, dare I say. I know it's just one game under 500, but they have played losing baseball since starting the year 17-2. They've gone 11-12, including last night's loss to the Oakland A's, so that's obviously a factor. If they were winning games, I might not be as affected by the happenings over there at Fenway Park as much as I am right now. But given the events of the last, call it, week with the Red Sox, it's hard to not get agitated by what is going on over there. This all started with the David Price stuff, and by now, you're probably ready to barf the David Price stuff back right out of your system. So let's get to Carson Smith. Okay, and we'll open up the phone lines. 617-779-0985. Yesterday at this time, we told you, or roughly this time, that Carson Smith appeared to have suffered a major injury when he came out of the game two nights ago. So that would be Monday night when he threw his glove in the dugout after allowing a home run to Chris Davis. Dave Dombrowski told us yesterday that there was a chance that the injury could be major, which means the Red Sox know it looks bad. They're going to get a second opinion, but don't be surprised if Carson Smith is cooked for the year. All because he got ticked off in the dugout, threw his glove, and basically blew out his shoulder. That is basically the story. Incredibly, it has gotten worse. Okay, first of all, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this part of it because it's so laughable and embarrassing that to me, Carson Smith should just shut his mouth and, frankly, stop talking about it. But he was asked about the injury today, and
yesterday.
I'm sorry. This is the comment from yesterday.
Yes.
Okay. And the quote unquote throwing of his glove. And here's what he said.
You can ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove every day, playing catch with him. That's part of my warm up routine. Is I go through my throwing motion. Throw my glove. Actually, usually hold on to it. Sometimes I accidentally release it. I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor in my shoulder, and my shoulders couldn't handle it. I think my shoulder's tired in general. Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean, and I've thrown a lot lately, and I think my arm is just tired.
Okay, so he's now saying in there that arm fatigue is a factor. I want to go back to a second, and this is the part I don't want to spend a ton of time on. Him saying he throws the glove with Joe Kelly every day. I've seen pitchers do it, we all have, where the glove's heavier than a ball, and so you simulate a throwing motion with the glove while holding it in your pitching hand, but you don't actually throw the glove. It's just a way to sort of build up a little strength, like an isometric exercise, like a resistance band might. Okay, that's what you do. To compare that to winding up in frustration and whipping your glove in the dugout is asinine. It's asinine, and Carson Smith knows it. So, like, to suggest, I throw my glove all the time.
You know, working out with it's a far less violent motion than throwing it in anger like a child.
Perfect way to put it, Murray.
I like it. Money.
But it's a far less violent motion. Perfect way to describe it. Okay, totally. So, like, stop trying to justify it by saying this is something you did all the time. You screwed up. Take responsibility for it. And apologize to your team, because they're the ones you're really screwing. Forget about you. You're screwing your team, you're screwing your manager, you're screwing your ownership and your fan base on top of it, let alone your president of baseball operations. So then today comes around. Okay, and the comment at the end, my arm was fatigued, suggesting he's been overworked. Murray, what was the stat you had a little while ago on Carson Smith that among American League relievers or pitchers this year, he ranks 138th in innings pitched?
Yeah, it was Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald. Yep, no, even there's 159 pitchers who have thrown more innings out of relief than Carson Smith this year. Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald.
Okay, so Carson Smith is claiming fatigue, and there are 159 pitchers that have thrown more innings. It's the middle of May. How worn out could you be, really? The other thing is, by saying that, it suggests that he has been mismanaged by his pitching coach, who's a first-year pitching coach, or his manager, who is a first-year manager. He's basically throwing them under the bus as if to say they don't know what they're doing. Or is he? I don't know. Maybe it's one of those things where he just said, no, I didn't mean it that way. I just mean that, you know, I've had a lot of work lately and that probably contributed. I don't blame them at all. So today, Christopher Smith of Mass Live tweeted the following, and this goes back a few hours now. I just asked Carson Smith if he could set the record straight as to what he meant in regards to being used a lot. Okay? Meaning that, did fatigue really cause the issue? Because it sounds like you're blaming Cora. Christopher Smith tweeted whether he might be blaming Cora for overuse. Presented with the opportunity to defend his manager, and this is me talking now, Christopher Smith said, no comment, I've said what I need to say. Christopher Smith then followed it up, and Carson Smith said, I'm in the position I'm in, I've got to move forward, so I've got no comment. So after all of this, after suggesting that he throws the glove all the time with Joe Kelly and that throwing it in the dugout, I don't know how it hurt me this time, and then blaming fatigue in his shoulder and throwing his manager under the bus, Carson Smith is given the opportunity to clear the air and say, no, you're misinterpreting what I've said. He had the opportunity to take Alex Cora and his pitching coach, Dana Lavangi, he had the opportunity to take them off the hook by saying, nope, that's not what I meant. And he said, no comment, I've said what I've had to say. Alex Cora was then asked about it in the press conference today over at Fenway Park about Smith blaming him effectively for overusage. Here's what Cora said.
I don't agree with it. On a daily basis, we talk to pitchers and how they feel. And if they don't feel they can pitch that day, we stay away from them. So it caught me by surprise. But you know, if he felt that way, he should have told it to us. We should have mentioned it. And actually, there was a day in, where was it, New York or Toronto? New York, I think, that we talked and he said he wasn't available that day and we stayed with him.
So here's what I would tell Alex Cora as a rookie manager. Okay, because he's learning a lot on the fly here. And if you think Cora's the kind of guy that's just going to brush this off, you're wrong. Remember, this guy was willing to take on a team broadcaster last year on the bus in Houston. So Cora's got an edge to him that maybe a lot of people don't necessarily see. But believe me when I tell you, if I had to bet, Cora's pissed. He's pissed. And he's looking at this guy saying, you got to be kidding me, you nitwit. You throw your glove in the dugout and you want to blame everybody but yourself? You jackass. Accept responsibility and accountability for it and move on. Okay, believe me, that's what Cora's feeling right now. I guarantee you that that is what Alex Cora is feeling right now. So here would be my advice to Alex Cora. The players that you will go out of your way to defend and win their trust, these are the same guys who eventually are going to get you fired. So just remember that. You're going to have them on your side generally, but every once in a while they're really going to test you, and if you let them make you look like a pushover and a jackass, your firing will come sooner rather than later. It will. So that's my two cents for Alex Cora. We'll get to your phone calls because there's really a bunch else to get to the Red Sox. Did I mention that a player wants to be traded? We'll get to that next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He's part of the Big League Ball Club, and he understands his role. His agent, I guess, you know, he expressed his feelings, but he's not the only big leaguer. First of all, I haven't heard it from Blake. And second, it's been an ongoing talk of players asking for trades or whatever throughout the year. He knows in advance when he's going to play. I let him know the night before, and he's ready to roll.
So by now, you've probably read or heard this already. Blake Swihart's agent has asked the Red Sox to trade his client, to trade Swihart. That's Alex Cora saying that he has not heard it from Swihart directly, which is consistent with the reports that are out there, because Swihart doesn't want to ask it. Maybe he feels like he doesn't have the credentials to ask for it. So he has his agent do it for him, separates the baseball from the business. That's what an agent is for. That's what they're supposed to do. You just keep doing your job. Let them fight the other stuff. So, you know my feelings on Swihart, if you don't know them already. And that is that the Red Sox have screwed this kid. If I were him, I would want the same thing he wants. Can you get me out of here? You guys have effed up my whole career. Really. Theo drafted him in the first round. So he's been there now for a few administrations. Okay, Theo and then Cherington. And now he's there under Dombrowski. So he looks at it and says, I was a first-round draft pick. I came up, and when I caught as a rookie, I hit well. I think he had 274, and he showed some power. I mean, I remember a home run he hit at Citi Field that sticks out in my mind, and I thought, this kid can hit. They were comparing him to Buster Posey, for crying out loud. Okay? And so then they move him to left field, and he gets hurt. So he goes along with it. He does what they asked. Not that he had that much of a choice. He wants to play. He does it. He gets hurt. Then they move him back to catcher. He gets hurt again. They say he's a catcher, but they play him at second base this spring. They've used him as a right-handed bat when he's really a better left-handed hitter. They won't use him behind the plate anymore, even though they are still working with him as a catcher. They have screwed this kid six ways to Sunday. They've screwed his whole career. The last time I remember him screwing up a young guy this much was like, do you remember the reliever Craig Hansen, Jimmy? Remember him?
Former first-round pick who had to put in his contract that it had to be a call-up in August or September.
So they screwed him, too. They rushed Hansen because they had a need in the bullpen that year, and they screwed him.
And they messed with his mechanics, too.
So, and they screwed up Daniel Bard. He's another one. That was Bobby V. Like, they have screwed up guys. They screwed up Swihart. If I were him, I'd want out, too. The Red Sox won't trade him now. No chance. They won't. They're going to wait until they have a clear need, and then they can use him because they don't have anything else to trade. They have to wait. They got to let him rot on the bench. They have to let him rot. They can't even put him in left field, for crying out loud, which we'll get to in 1 minute. Like I told you, I'm with Cora on the Carson Smith thing, but he said something today about Swihart that kind of, at the very least, is a bad look, but we'll play it for you in just a minute. In the interim, I do want to get to some of your phone calls. The one thing I do ask is because a lot of you are lined up, I would like to move relatively quickly. So if you could just get to your point, and then we'll move on. Tony is in Stoneham. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I got to tell you, you were spot on in the beginning. I don't know about Swihart, so I'm not going to comment. But I got to tell you, this team is starting to scare me now. They're typical, no clutch hitting, no clutch pitching. You know, every team can have a big streak like they did in the beginning of the season. It gave us false hope. But unless they make some changes, if I'm Dombrowski, I'm on the phone now, and I got a bunch of players, starting with Bradley, that I'd like to get rid of.
Okay, so Tony, look, they need help. They need help. Now, I think a lot of teams have winning streaks during the year. Most of them do. Not many go 17-2. So this is a good team. I've said that from the beginning. The question is whether or not they're going to be great. That's what we need to find out. Tim's in Attleboro.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
Tony, Carson Smith, you know what? I work with people over the years, and one thing about it is, say someone blows out, it hurts their knee outside the job, they limit their work, 4 hours into the shift, they say, oh, I hurt my knee somewhere in work. Now with Carson Smith, I mean, throwing the glove or whatever he was doing, if there's a difference between hurt, he wants to make it like he hurt his shoulder, it was already hurting him before he threw his glove. I mean, it's like Carson. I like the D.L. Smith, but it's a
yeah,
joke.
Tim, he's making excuses, but you do. I think you're headed towards an interesting question that I think Joe in the car wants to get to. Joe, what do you got?
Yeah. So my question was, did Carson Smith really even hurt himself in the dugout, as they're saying? Because I mean, I didn't personally see that half inning, and they say that he threw his glove and that he got taken out right after that. He was clearly injured. But I kind of think it's like the Rondo thing in the shower, the Smart thing in the with the window, the Clay Buchholz thing, sleeping wrong with his kid. It seems like they're giving a dumb excuse for a real injury, and I want to know what really happened, because I don't believe that he threw, I throw my glove all the time, and sometimes I don't release it, and then this time I released it, and I threw it. Like, that, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, his armor should be in pristine shape.
Joe, you think they're making it up to cover up some other injury?
I don't know if they're making it up, or if he's saying that, like, he's like, yeah, I threw my glove after I gave up that home run and I heard a pop. Like, okay. I don't know. Maybe you sucked before the home run.
Okay, so it's a fair question. It's not about sucking, though. It's about whether or not he can even go to the mound. So here's what I just asked you guys quickly. I haven't seen any video of it anywhere. Have you guys?
No, not at all.
Okay, so look, it's possible it just didn't get caught on camera. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't get caught on camera. And I would tell you there's an agreement, wink, wink, nod, nod, between Nesson and the Red Sox that you be careful about what you shoot in the dugout. Typically, the team refrains on you shooting into the dugout, particularly from that dugout camera. Now, sometimes we see in there, but stuff that is supposed to be a little bit more, you know, I don't want to say sacred, but private in that dugout, I think they generally stay away from. In this case, he might have gone down the runway. I have no idea. Could happen in any one of a million places. But I do believe it happened because this is the kind of thing they would cover up. I don't think they would use this to cover up an injury. They would cover up an injury by saying something like this. Like, this sounds like a story you would make up, which to me makes it believable. Kevin's in Durham.
Hey, if you're Dombrowski, don't you kind of have to have Coors back and either trade or release this guy to send a message to also kind of get the point across to the other guys that if you're dragging your feet or just kind of like farting around, that's not acceptable this year? Because they're too talented not to, to really suck the way they're doing it.
So, Kevin, look, I don't know that there's much they can do from a, you know, I'd say a real discipline standpoint, because my guess is that the union has very strict guidelines as to what a player can and cannot be disciplined for. But I will tell you this, that between the act of doing it, the history of injury, and this guy's attitude, I think he's buried himself in the Red Sox organization now. Like, when he comes back next spring, if he is in fact out for the year, and I think that that's probable at this stage, are you going to look at Carson Smith and have any sort of faith in his ability to stay healthy or his character to compete? Like, I'm done with this guy now. And I suspect they are too. I think they've completely had it with Carson Smith. Let me go quickly to Scott in Connecticut. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Matt, you know, I always call you for therapy. I love this team and I hate this team so much. I'm going to go really, really quick. And it's going to be outside of the box, but I want you to have fun with it because I'm being facetious. Okay, so Devers can catch the ball, but he's no longer allowed to throw it. Just hold it. Thank you very much. Benintendi can only advance one base at a time unless it's a home run. And David Price, shut up.
Okay. Scott, like I said.
But loving and hating the Red Sox is kind of the Red Sox fan experience.
Oh, it is. Yeah, no. You're totally conflicted. In this case, I was really starting to like this team again early in the year, and now I'm coming back to where I was a year ago.
Well, it's funny. So that first game felt like a complete repeat of so much of last year, and really the most of the last couple of years, and then they go on that ridiculous winning streak, and they're 17-2, and now all of a sudden it does feel like last year again.
Totally. And the shenanigans really are what have pushed us to that area between David Price and his nonsense, now Carson Smith's nonsense. The Blake Swihart thing doesn't bother me. I'm with the player on that one.
Yeah, but the hideous base running.
But the Benintendi base running, Murray? That's another one which we'll get to. And I'll play you the comment from Alex Cora regarding Blake Swihart. That really is a bad look for the manager. We'll do that and get to Benintendi's base running adventures after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So look, Alex Cora is in a little bit of the spot here with Blake Swihart. Carson Smith is being a complete dink on this arm injury thing. Even suggesting that somehow you were mishandled and mismanaged early in the year. when it's the middle of May, and that that could have somehow contributed to your stupid decision to throw a glove and hurt your shoulder. Like, somehow that's Cora's fault. Weak move. That's weak. Like, low-class, low-grade weak. Throwing the manager under the bus like that. Weak. Let alone a rookie manager and a rookie pitching coach. As if you're some Hall of Famer or Rolaids relief winner. That guy can't stay healthy, period. He hasn't been healthy since 2015, and he wasn't even pitching here at the time. He got hurt in 2016. He sucked at the end of last year. Now he's hurt again because he got mad and threw his glove. And then Swihart asked for a trade. Cora doesn't decide the roster, at least in terms of the options and stuff like that, because the fact is that they can't send Blake Swihart to the minor leagues. But I do think Cora should have played Swihart more. And I do think Swihart could play in the outfield if he can't catch. Which leads me to this comment that Cora made tonight when asked about Swihart.
It's tough. It's tough to do it. Whenever it comes down to him playing the outfield or DHing, I honestly run it through JD first. I said, what do you rather do? You want to DH or you want to play left? You guys know the answer. So, and it's nothing against Blake, but I think, you know, JD, he likes to play the outfield. And whenever we have the chance and we have options, we'll check with him. And if he wants to play the outfield, then Blake will DH.
That answer really bugs the crap out of me. And look, I get what Cora's saying, okay, but it's a bad look. He says, I run it by JD. And this is where this is one of those occasions where Cora shouldn't be this honest. So he's got a veteran player that they're paying a lot of money. The guy wants to play the outfield. They want to keep him happy because he's been a force in their lineup here in the early part of the year. He's been a force. So Cora says, you know what, I'm going to need this guy. I got to go easy with this guy. And so you know what? When it comes to him or Blake in left field, I'm going to run it by him. Hey, what do you want to do? And JD wants to play the outfield, clearly, because he's been saying it since spring training. You get the sense there's a tension point there between him and the Red Sox. From the very start, you've sensed that. But it sounds like the player is making the decision, and the tail is wagging the dog. And so to me, that's where Cora should just keep his mouth shut, not tell us the process, and just say, even if he gets to lie, look, I like JD in left field. I think it makes him a better hitter. Look at his numbers when he plays the outfield. Even if you don't say it on the record. But to say I run it by JD and he wants to play the outfield, so Swihart, he has to DH? What if the manager actually thinks that Swihart's a better outfielder? See, then to me it's incumbent upon Cora to go to JD Martinez and say, hey, look, I got to get this kid some reps in the outfield. Okay? He's a good player and we got to get him more ABs. And I also want to get you off your feet a little bit. So I know you like to be out there, but I'm not going to give you every game. Okay, maybe you get 2 out of 3. The kid's going to play out there a little bit more. Maybe I do it on the road and take some of the burden off you there where some bigger left fields. You can get the games at Fenway. We'll figure it out. But I need to get him out there too. And I would hope JD Martinez would be amenable to that. But that answer I did not love, again, purely from a political standpoint, it makes Cora look like he's kowtowing to the player. Even if he is, don't let everyone know it. Michael is in Medford. Michael, what do you got?
Maz, just on that comment alone, the bottom of the order has done nothing for offense. Nothing at all. So, why not put Swihart a catcher for a good week? And maybe you get a diamond in the rough. Because if you're going to trade him, how are you going to get any value unless somebody sees him?
So, Michael, that can go both ways, though. Like, if you play a guy like Swihart and he stinks, then maybe he loses value. Right? So, that one can go either or. To me, that it's less about that and more about what's right for the team. Like, I purely look at it as, what's your best chance now to improve the team? And the offense at catcher is stunk. So they've clearly invested in Christian Vasquez. They give him a 3-year, $13.5 million extension before the season, and the extension starts next year. So that's through 2021 with an option for 2022. Now, look, the money's relatively short. It's under $5 million a year. So if they need to trade Vasquez, they can trade him. But would it kill them to give Swihart a game against a bad team, maybe a slow team that doesn't run like the A's? Put him behind the plate and see how it goes? Put him there with a veteran starter that maybe isn't as picky about the catcher he has behind the plate? So to me, Swihart can help them. I think he can help them. Just like I think Mitch Moreland can help them, which is why Bradley's out of the lineup again tonight. Like, to me, that's what the issue is in terms of getting Swihart in the lineup. He can make your team, your lineup, a little deeper. Drew's in Grafton. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey, Tony, how you doing? So I called a couple weeks ago after the last time we were getting boxed around by Oakland when he botched that Sunday game and he had come off botching. I think it was the Yankees game right before that. But anyways.
The game in Oakland, you're talking about when he left Price in too long.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I need you to take the rose-colored Alex Cora glasses off. I'm sure you must have some history with him going back to your days around the team. But he is bad, man. I mean, it's the butchering he had the other night. And when you look at it, really, now it's coming down to he is doing everything wrong that we ran Farrell out of town from. When you look at bad communication, well, okay, let's start with bad communication with the players, issues in the clubhouse. It's only May, and we've already got them.
Okay, Drew, let me stop you there. When you say bad communication with the players, what in particular are you talking about?
So obviously there's an issue between what he's saying and what Carson Smith's saying. There's two sides to the story.
So I blame Carson Smith for that, but go ahead.
Okay, and you can go there, but like obviously there's an issue with Price too. You can't get him to not run his mouth to the media when he's having issues with the video games in the hands and just shut up and take his medicine and say, okay, coach, I'll stop doing the nonsense. That to me is a communication or a clubhouse issue as well. But, even the bigger picture, bad base running into too many outs, that has not been rectified. They've been playing under 500 ball since that 17-2 start, and it's a larger sample size. So it's just on and on that you look at what they're doing wrong, and the in-game management has been very, very bad. I think we can all agree that, which is, again, why we wanted Farrell out of here. So what has Alex Cora really done on a positive note that we couldn't have Farrell doing the same buffoonery?
Okay, so Drew, listen, you make good points. You make good points. I am willing to give Cora a shot. I don't think the clubhouse issues are nearly what they were under Farrell. So to me, that overall has been an improvement. But the game management, you're not wrong to second-guess and question a lot of the game decisions. And the only defense I would have of Cora in that area is that Cora is, what, 42 games into his career? Farrow's in his fifth or sixth year as a manager. How many years did Farrow manage here? He started in 13, so he was here 5 plus 3 or 4 in Toronto. So I take that back. Farrow's in his seventh, eighth, ninth year as a manager, and he sucked at it from the beginning, but it never got better. Francona was not a great game manager his first year here. He wasn't. But it got better. It was better late in the year. And then by the end of the time, he was pretty good at it, particularly as it related to the bullpen. So I'll allow for some mistakes in the game management in April and May with the hope that by the time August and September come around, Cora has learned his team, he's learned the spots, and he knows what he wants to do when. So there's some feeling out that's going on there. But, again, that's the only defense I can have for him in the game management. You're not wrong. Most importantly, different from Farrell, with the exception of 2013, I was going to say they're winning at a higher rate, though Farrell did win two divisions. So I feel like the clubhouse dynamic, though, was way better. Way, way better than it was. Before I get back to your calls, a couple of you were there. Sit tight for 1 second, because I want to get to this from last night, because it's been a pet peeve of mine, and sometimes it comes off as an agenda or a grudge that I have against a particular player, like it might be personal. And I'm telling you, it's not personal. I've beaten up on Ben Attendee a lot here in the early part of the year because I don't think he's playing to his ability. He had two home runs. He hit one last night. Good. He misplayed a ball in center field the night before. Bad. And his base running suggests to me that he doesn't pay attention or he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. And in the first inning last night, this happened.
Ben Attendee and Martinez leading away with two down. A little topper here to third base. Going to be a tough play. Chapman looks back at third. Oh, he's got him in a rundown now. Benintendi came around the bag. Lucroy giving chase. Rundown back to the plate. And he's going to be out to retire the side. Chapman, a very cagey play. Never even thought about throwing. And a base running mistake for the Red Sox. And that really churns the stomach of the manager. Sox have left too many men hung out to dry on the bases this year. And he has not been happy about that at all. He continually says that something needs to be cleaned up
Yeah, you're okay with mistakes on the base path, over-aggressive and really pushing the envelope, but there was a couple last series getting thrown out at third when they were in Toronto, trying to beat the shift, stealing third, again last night and again tonight, and majority of these are just blunders. They're mental errors versus just kind of pushing the envelope. Obviously nowhere to go right there. Even if he does throw to first, he'll be able to relay that right to home. So it does give a valid effort to staying in the rundown, but a little base running blunder again.
So two things here. First of all, it's always bad when you get credit for being in a rundown. Like, oh, you extended the rundown. Secondly, if Winkin' Johnny Gomes is calling you out for being a crappy base runner, then you must really suck. Because Gomes never says anything negative about anybody when it comes to the Red Sox. Like, I remember last year, someone gave up an absolute monster of a home run, and he said, oh, it's a good pitch. Then I watched the replay of it, and it was belt high right down the middle. And I'm wondering, what game is Johnny Gomes watching? And I honestly, I have nothing against Gomes. But Benintendi? The stupidity on the bases is off the charts. And that play last night, first and second, two outs, first inning, you're down two. A slow chopper to third. The third baseman comes in, fields it, and he didn't even fake a throw to first. He just turned around, and Benintendi came bombing around the bag, and he got hung out. He hung himself out to dry and got caught with his pants down and ended the inning. The Red Sox still tied for the major league lead by running into 21 outs on the bases, and Benintendi is tied for the team lead. It's only three. It feels a hell of a lot worse. And he was one of the worst base runners last year. So what I would say to Benintendi is, if you're going to act like someone who's been in the big leagues for 10 years, if you're going to have big league-itis, then I would suggest you play like someone who's been in the big leagues for 10 years and not make the stupid-ass mistakes that you're making. Benintendi's bugging the crap out of me this year. Going back to that comment he made in Oakland about being credited for a hit and a no-hitter. Tell you what, you get a little bit more than a year in the big leagues, you really haven't won anything yet, and you've been a pretty good player, not a great one. Until you really accomplish something, shut your pie hole and just play. Just play.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.